Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber.
Hi, my name is Stephen Wyshnia, and I'm the author of When They Hate You for Being a Jew, an Ancient Hatred Rebooted for the Internet Age, published in the November issue of The Independent. The first things I learned about politics as a child, circa 1960 or 61, included that we were drinking powdered milk so me and my brothers wouldn't get leukemia from nuclear fallout, like my friend Philip with the nasty dog. That whatever prosperity my parents had was because my grandparents were in labor unions. And that people I thought were called the Nazis, that's spelled K-N-O-T-S-I-E-S, had murdered our relatives in Europe. So I was not shocked that some putz in Pittsburgh decided to be a one-man Einsatzgruppe and killed 11 Jews in a synagogue. I was bitterly fatalistic. In 1942, Einsatzgruppe B, one of the Nazis' special action death squads that followed the Wehrmacht East, burned 1,100 Jews alive inside a shul in Slonim, Belarus, then part of the Soviet Union, including most of my grandfather's family. So what else is new? People have wanted to exterminate Jews for millennia, from Haman in ancient Persia to the drunken Russian mobs and the pogroms of 1905. I have lived virtually all my conscious life with the knowledge that there were people who would have loved to smash my newborn baby self's soft skull against a wall. With the attitude, as Colonel John Chivington said to justify his 1864 massacre of Cheyenne and Arapaho children at Sand Creek, Colorado, that nits make lice. Two things are distinctive about Jew-hating, a term I prefer to anti-Semitism, which was a late 19th century euphemism intended to give it some pseudo-anthropological respectability. It's far more exterminationist than most other varieties of racism. Latino immigrants face far more insults and oppression than American Jews do now, but people who hate them say, send them back, not Hitler was right. And it behaves like a lethal variant of herpes, a virus that is often dormant, but never goes away and flares up episodically. That persistence surprises some people. World War II forced Americans to start treating Jews like white people, as Adolf Hitler had shown the logical extreme of things like restrictive covenants that prohibited property from being sold or rented, quote, by any Hebrew or by any person of the Ethiopian, Malay, or any Asiatic race. But it didn't go away. From Richard Nixon's Oval Office mutterings about how the Jews are an irreligious, atheistic, immoral bunch of bastards who, quote, totally dominated, unquote, the media, to the circa 1990 street peddlers with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in between the patchouli oil and the Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. The nexus for its current resurgence is conspiracy theory. In the internet era, bizarrely ludicrous ideas have become widespread. You no longer have to write away to an obscure post office box to find them. A 2016 NBC News poll found 41% of Republican respondents believe that President Barack Obama, whose birth announcement was printed in both Honolulu newspapers in August 1961, was not born in the United States, and only 27% accept that he had been. Birtherism is an analog of Holocaust denial, an obvious falsehood used as a, quote, factual, unquote, argument to cover attitudes too blatantly racist to express in public. The deeper conspiracy theory worldview is that the world is secretly controlled by an infinitely powerful and infinitely evil cabal. The intellectual template for this comes directly from late 19th century anti-Semitism, which responded to the rapacious power of robber baron era capitalism by blaming international Jewish bankers. It's blaming a despised ethnic religious minority for systemic exploitation inspired the German social democrat August Bebel to dub it the socialism of fools. That socialism of fools also set the intellectual template for the right-wing demagoguery commonly mislabeled populism, which draws mass support with tirades against elites, but intensifies the power of the rich while condemning demographic scapegoats. Codified in the Tsarist Russian forgery of the Protocols and later by Nazism, this anti-Semitism's core myth is that Jews are using their control of finance and media for world domination, as well as manipulating rebellion by inferior races not smart enough to do it on their own. One far-right meme circulating recently is that, according to the Protocols, one of their top tactics is undermining Western countries by flooding them with immigrants from inferior nations. That was the Pittsburgh Putz's imagined grievance. Donald Trump has promoted a diluted version of that myth, with his claims that George Soros, the current avatar for the international Jewish banker villain, is financing the caravan of Honduran refugees wending its way through southern Mexico. Trump's policy of separating children from their parents at the border was both racist and proudly sadistic, two of the core elements of Nazism. But it was like a local stage one cancer, not an aggressively metastasized stage four. I fear we are entering stage two. There are millions of people who are proud to be racist sadists and trumpet any nonsense if it backs up their beliefs. In the cruel and terrible time in which our generation has been condemned to live on this earth, we must never make peace with evil, wrote Vasily Grossman, the Russian Jewish novelist who covered the Battle of Stalingrad and was the first reporter to write about the Treblinka extermination camp. We must never become indifferent to others or undemanding of ourselves.
That was The Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent, produced by Elia Grant.